Well, I definitely think the Lord has a theme this morning, because in our tithes and offerings, we're going to be carrying on with basically what Lindsay and Pastor Steve were sharing. If you have your Bibles and want to open up to Exodus 17, we're starting a new series in our tithes and offerings, and it's called With God, All Things Are Possible. Say that with me. With God, all things are possible. And if you look at the capitalized words, God, all possible. God, all possible. I loved it. I was listening. Actually, I don't even remember her name. It was a lady I've never heard before on the Victory Channel. And it was so funny because I was like listening to myself being preached back at from her, and she was talking about the word all, and she goes, can I just say to you that the word all means all? And I was like, wow, how many times have I said that? And she said, I love that little word because it encompasses everything, right? So with God, all, everything is possible, right? And that's important for us to know when we're dealing with our tithes and our offering, because that is the key to unlocking the blessings of the Lord. Amen? So if you have your Bibles, open up to Exodus 17, verse 7. It's not 7. 1. Wow. Sorry about that. 17, 1. And we're right now in this part of the scripture. The children of Israel have been taken out of Egypt. They've walked out. They've had this huge victory. And now they are in the wilderness for 40 years. And the Lord has been providing for them food, right? And at this point, it says in verse 17, verse 1, then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on a journey from the wilderness of Sin according to the commandment of the Lord, and they camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Say, no water. Therefore, the people contended with Moses. Have you ever noticed that? When all of a sudden there's a shortage, we want to blame somebody. How about there's just a shortage? Right? But what was Moses doing? Moses was following the what? The leading of the Lord. Right? This isn't Moses. We don't read it says Moses decided this is where they're going to camp. Who decided this? God. God decided where they were going to camp. But the people, being people, contended or complained against Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. So Moses said to them, like every good leader, why are you complaining with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, why is it that you have brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? Have you ever noticed how dramatic people get when things aren't going their way? And see, the thing we have to realize is we should not associate ourselves with the Israelites. Do you know why? They had no relationship with God. They couldn't. Why? There was a sin barrier. So God spoke through Moses to speak to the people, right? There was a distance. Don't ever say, I'm just like the children of Israel. You are not just like the children of Israel. You have a covenant and a relationship with God. You should be like Moses, but actually even greater than Moses, because even he didn't have the relationship we have today. What does it say in Hebrews? They all longed for what we have. Amen? Let's keep going. So Moses cried out to the Lord saying, I love this. This is almost like a series for pastors. What do I do with this people? Not you guys. You guys are amazing. They are almost ready to stone me. So Moses does the right thing. The people of Israel, they complained to Moses, right? Like Moses was supposed to bring water out of the air. Moses can't do that, right? That's physically impossible for a man. But what did Moses do? He didn't cry back out to the people. He didn't complain and wander around. What did he do? He talked to the source. He talked to the one who was able to make things that were impossible possible. Now stop and think about this for a second. These same people, just a few weeks before, walked through a wall of water on both sides, on dry ground. I don't care what the cartoons do. I don't care what the people in the movie theaters do. It was not wet. They were not stuck in the mud. It says dry ground. They got that entire nation across quick, okay? They witnessed this. How would you feel? Let's just, for instance, what if we took you down here to the river and we hit the water, stepped in, whatever, and the water went back on both sides? Would you forget that really quickly? That would be cemented in your mind forever, right? Like, we just witnessed an incredible, we walked across on dry ground, right? We would still be talking about it to this day, right? But that's the amazing thing. When you don't have a relationship with the Lord, you have a short-term memory. That's another reason why you shouldn't associate yourself with the Israelites. You need to remember what God has done. If he did a miracle then, he can do a miracle now, and he'll do another miracle tomorrow if you need it. Amen? Yes. With God, all things are possible. So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord said in verse 5 to Moses, go on before the people, take some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the rod with which you struck the river, and go. So he's taking something that he already knows he has authority with, right? Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock of Horeb, and you will strike the rock, and the water will come out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of all the elders of the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the contention of the children of Israel, because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" So he goes to this rock, and we all go, "Yeah, they hit the rock, and water came out." I've even studied this a little bit, and there's people that try to explain, like, there was reservoirs behind the rock, and so, you know, technically speaking, when they hit the rock, he could have caused something to shake, and I'm like, really? Wouldn't a piece of wood hitting a rock is going to cause it to have that kind of transformation? I don't think so. Okay, I don't think so. When was the last time you walked up to a boulder and struck it with a piece of wood and water came out? That is not natural, okay? And sometimes when we read these Bible stories, we forget of the power behind it. He walked up to a rock based on what the Lord had told him, and he brought people with him to witness this. He didn't go by himself and hit the rock first and see, oh, okay, good, okay, well, we're good. Everybody, come on now. No, he brought everybody with him to this rock. Can you imagine being the elders of Israel? What in the world is he doing now? They're all standing in front of this rock. Had to be big, right? Because a lot of water came out to give all the children of Israel their water. Stand in front of this rock. I can just hear the people around Moses. He is out of his mind if he thinks this is going to work. What is he doing? Have you heard? Why are we here? You can hear all the little murmuring. But you know what? That didn't bother Moses. Why? Because Moses had a word. And what was the word? I am going before you. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. And he goes up to this rock in authority, because he's already used this rod before to part waters. And he takes this rod, and he hits that rock, and he strikes it. It doesn't tell us how the water started happening, but you know that somehow that rock had to split or open up, right? So you can use, that's why God gives us imaginations. That's why I love teaching kids classes, because we can use our imaginations to see that rock breaking apart as the angel of the Lord is just ripping it with his hands, and water is flowing forth where there was no water before. Why? Because nothing is impossible for God. Amen? Let me say it again. Nothing is impossible with God. What is your rock? What is your rock today? What is it that is holding back the blessing of the Lord in your life? Well, the first thing you need to do is you need to go to Him. And you need to get your instructions. You need to get your directions. Why is that important? Why is it important? Because you want to know what His plan is. I don't want to go to a rock that He's not at. Because no matter how many times I hit it with my rod, it's not going to work, right? We want to know which rock to go to, which place to stand in faith. Because if He goes before us, we know when we take that act of faith, like Lindsay was talking about, Moses didn't speak to the rock. He struck the rock because that's what God told him to do. Obedience. There are so many different pieces here that we're going to begin seeing that with God, all things are possible, but we have a part to play. Amen? If you don't have a word from the Lord, what do you stand on? You hear those murmuring around you and you're going to go, oh, they're right. I'm nuts. Did I really hear from the Lord? Oh, do I hit it? Do I do it? Do you see the questioning that can happen because of the voices around you? But when you have a word from the Lord and you can hold on to that and stand in faith, rocks will open up and water will come out where there was no water before. Amen? Amen. So I know that we've been talking a lot about Luke's worship night that's coming up. And the Lord spoke to Luke and gave him a number. I've shared with you about the Bibles that he wanted to pass out. And that was his rock that he was believing for. And in my mind as a mom, I'm like, okay, we could do like, you know, you could donate a Bible and get all these people involved. And we kind of talked. And I said, well, are you sure 300? And he's like, I really feel like the Lord told me to dream big. He had his word. Right? So we're standing in front of this rock, and I'm thinking of all the ways that I can possibly get the water to come out of the rock. Amen? But you know what? I finally just said, Lord, I agree with Luke. I agree with Luke. You can do this. Everything else has been coming and falling into place. You can do this, God. And I was sharing with one of our missionaries about the worship night, and her and I do a lot of praying for our kids, and I was sharing with her and just some of the amazing things that God has done, the ways He's been moving and working, and I happened to mention some prayer needs, and in that list was 300 Bibles. I got an email back. And this is why you don't doubt. When you act in faith and you have a dream and the Lord tells you to do something, you do it. And you strike it with all the faith that you have behind it. Because when you strike in faith, He's already gone before you. They received an inheritance and they have been praying and praying for what to do with the seed that the Lord has blessed them with. And you know what they said? We are ecstatic. This is the answer to our prayers. We're buying every Bible that He wants. Every Bible. They're done. 300 Bibles. Somebody in this place better say thank you, Jesus. Woo! 300 Bibles paid for in full. You see what I'm saying today? Pastor Steve said this. He said, one day, in one moment, one phone call, somebody's out there waiting to release the blessing. But if you don't strike the rock, the water will never come forth. It will never come forth. So you need to pray and ask the Lord, what is it you're dealing with? Follow His instructions. And when you get to whatever rock or impossible situation it looks like, don't doubt. You have a word. Stand in faith and strike that rock and watch and see what God will do. Because you know what? God, all possible. With God, all things are possible. Grab your tithes and offering. Father, I just thank you so much for this word today. I thank you for your faithfulness, God. I thank you for the living examples that we have in your word, but also in our community as a church body. And I know there's probably many people sitting in this room who have stood in front of a rock where there was lack or shortage or just nothing. There was nothing to be able to be provided for. But they stood in faith and they acted on that faith. And you produced water where there was no water. You provided a way where there was no way. I thank you, Lord, that you are not done doing the supernatural. You are the same yesterday, whether it was 2,000 years ago or 5,000 years ago or 2 days ago. God, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, Lord, today we praise you. We rejoice with the miracle that happened with Luke. We rejoice with every young person that's going to receive a Bible in their hand that he's going to testify. This isn't from someone local. People around the world were thinking of you and the powerful message that's going to send to these young people of how much God loves them. And Father, I just thank you for bursting forth in this rock and providing the answer. But God, I know you're not done. I know that there are people in this room that are standing in front of their rock. I pray, Lord, that they would cry out to you and listen for what you tell them to do. Maybe it's giving a $3 offering, like Lindsay shared. It was basically giving everything she had at the moment. Maybe it's a seed that you want someone to plant. Maybe it's just literally changing what you say about the situation. Whatever it is, Father, I pray we would be obedient and then we would act on. We would do whatever you've told us to do so that when we strike that rock, we know it's the rock you've already gone before us and you are making the way. We pray for every person in this room, Father. You've heard the dreams that Steve has. You've seen the vision, Father. So we thank you for the provision that's coming. Whether by two or 2,000 or 20,000, it doesn't matter, God. You will make the way. And we praise you for it today. Bless every seed that is sown. Encourage your people today. Stir them up, Father, to believe that with God, all things are possible. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Glory, glory, glory to God. Well, we're continuing. I'm gonna, you know, pass over some of the normal review stuff today because the Lord had extra things for us to share beforehand today. So these messages are online at redeemed-church.org. You can review them. They're also on our YouTube channel at Redeemed Church, or at Redeemed Church Vancouver, Washington, I think is our YouTube channel. And next week will be the final message in God's Big Ten, this series that we're on, and we'll probably, if you would rather have a CD, let me know, because I have the capability of burning CDs, so you can have 11 weeks on one disc. They're all MP3 files, so you can literally have like 10 hours of preaching on one disc, right? So it's pretty awesome what technology can do nowadays, and it's a tool, right? But our foundation text has been Matthew 22, verses 35 through 40. You can look that up and read it. But it tells us that the greatest commandment is to love God. Somebody say, love God. And then love your neighbor as yourself. So when we're talking about the Ten Commandments, and oh man, Pastor Greg and Kenneth Copeland have been doing Believer's Voice of Victory. If you haven't been watching that, check it out. They've been doing, guess what? The Ten Commandments. And Kenneth Copeland said himself, I don't remember the last time we taught about this, but it's just like the Spirit of God is showing us things, right? So check that out on Victory, right? And I think it's last week and this week that it's on. But the Ten Commandments of God. And Pastor Greg, he's got a doctorate degree, and he's just an amazing minister. He does Victory News as well. But he was teaching us, because he knows a lot of things about the Jewish roots of our faith, right? And Israel. And he was reminding us, you know, actually this book has 613 commandments that God gave us, right? And so he was talking about how Jesus is the fulfillment of all of those, and it's all about loving God. They're, again, emphasizing it's about loving God, loving your neighbor, and that if we're doing that. And then, again, that we've said before, too, is that this whole book is how to walk it out. These Ten Commandments that God gave us are so important that the whole Bible is how to walk out our love for God and our love for people. Amen. And so, of course, that's what the devil is attacking in the world. He has to attack God, faith in God itself. Because he knows that's at the root of all of this. There's people out there right now, I mean, billionaires, a lot of them, that know you are the reason why the election didn't go the way they wanted it to. There's people in Canada right now. Is that the way to Canada? Let's all stretch our hands to Canada. And to say, in Jesus' name, Canada, be saved, right? There are elections right now. They're having probably what could be a rigged election up there. They want more, you know, radical left-wing crazy people involved in telling you we can transgender your kids and all this and put you in prison for life for protesting at an abortion peacefully at an abortion clinic. So in Jesus' name, we declare Canada, kingdom of God come, will of God be done, the same way it's happening here in the U.S. In Jesus' name, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Canada. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Syria, in Pakistan, in Israel, in Iran, North Korea, Russia, Mexico, South America. We apply the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we declare kingdom of God come, will of God be done, on earth as it is in heaven, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. But these commandments of God, the devil hates them because he hates you and he hates God and he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. That's who he is. And today we're going to talk about the devil's gift of being a liar. Has anyone noticed that the devil is a liar and a lot of the things that are being broadcast? Little Elvis here. A lot of things that are being broadcast are straight up lies. Can you imagine, you know, I remember when I was a little kid, they were, now Stevie, what do you want to be when you grow up? Stevie, my little blonde afro, is so cute. I could be a police officer. Or I could be a pro baseball player, or I could be a woman. How nuts? How nuts is the devil? That is a lie from hell. And no matter how many body parts you add or subtract, it's about the chromosomes. It's about biology. Amen. And so the devil is the liar. He's lying to people, enslaving people. He is the racist. He is the Marxist. Marxism, you know, spreading lies amongst each other to divide. That's what that's all about. Amen. And we're not about that stuff. We're about loving God and loving people. And loving people does not include loving everything people believe. Right? Amen. No, we just want them to go to heaven. We don't want them to go to hell. The other day, I was in a business meeting. I'm in this networking group called BNI, maybe even as Business Networking International. I'm pretty sure the owner of it is a Christian because he talks about being friends with John Maxwell, and a lot of the principles that he shares are Christian principles. Dr. Ivan Meisner is his name, and he created this thing that started back in the 80s, I think, and now there's like over 300,000 members in BNI, and it's just these little groups of people about the size, maybe half the size of us, that get together from different business venues, and you share business with each other. My goal, if my mom is a chiropractor, then my job as a pest control guy, when I'm out doing business in the world, is listening for somebody to say, oh, my back. And I'll say, hey, I know a chiropractor. And it's called referral networking. So we're intentionally listening for other people that we may know to you know, gather business for and refer things to. But we go through everybody every week, and it's this big, it's kind of like business church, really, right? And they all know that I also do this. All of them know. Because the Lord just brings it up, and you're seeing the same people every week, and you talk. And so this past week, it was my turn to be, they have a feature presenter every week, and this week it was my turn. And I was sharing about my family and how much I love not Jesus yet. I was talking about my family and how Shelly and I have had 25 years of marriage together. And then they ask you, well, the person that's moderating, well, Steve, tell us about something about you that nobody knows. I'd already thought about, Lord had already preempted me, right? And because I knew it was coming, right? And I said, well, I love my wife. I've been married for 25 years, but I'm also in love with a man. And about half of them go, Jesus, Jesus. I'm like, yes, it's Jesus. Glory to God. Be a witness. Right? Hallelujah. And I know there's people in our chapter that think that they can have a relationship with a tree. Right? But all we want to say is you can have better relationships than with a tree or with a bird or with the water or with the wind. You can have a relationship with the one who created the tree. Right? That's all we're saying. The devil is a liar and the father of it, right? Exodus chapter 20, verses 16 says this. This is one of the commandments, right? Make sure you're memorizing your commandments. You shall not have any other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a... You shall not take the name of the Lord in... Right? You shall remember the Sabbath day and keep it... Right? Honor your father and your... So you live long. Just ask your mom. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. This is the next one. You shall not bear false witness. No. You shall not steal. I almost lost it there. Next one, this is today's. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And then we'll wrap it up next week with you shall not covet your neighbor's stuff, right? Amen. So verse 16, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And we're seeing the farther we go into this that they're all intertwined really together, right? And the Shamash, last week in your notes, if you're really detailed, you noticed that I spelled Shamash wrong. I was like, wait a minute. I said S-H, and it's actually C-H. So it's a Jewish, book of commentary on the Torah from rabbis and sages from years ago. And it's just a wonderful study tool, right? Like any study tool, though, this, hold up your Bible, this is the main tool. That's what I told the business people. I was talking about the tools of pest control that we use. I was talking about different tools that we use. And I pointed at myself and I said, but we, the technician, we're your main tool. Because we know how to use the tools, right? But this right here is the main tool. So anytime you have any other book that's a study, a commentary or a book that somebody wrote that's based on this, you always have to come back to this to weigh it out to see if it fits. Because there people are human beings. But the Shamash has been a wonderful study tool to hear what Jews are saying from sages, rabbis, and the connection of Israel in the Bible is very important, right? Long as they recognize Jesus Christ as their Messiah, that's the main thing, right? And we pray for Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the Bible says. Amen. But it says this about verse 16. This is a prohibition against bearing false witness. And it talks about, it says specifically false testimony in court, right? Prohibits gossip and slander. And it says one who lies in court may well deny God. They probably already have denied God, right? Amen. So we need to be, and of course, this encompasses, you know, there's, you know, translations of the word that say it's you shall not lie, which that would certainly be included, right? So, of course, this doesn't just limit it to being on a witness stand in court. You shall not lie. You shall not be dishonest. You shall not lie in a witness stand. You took an oath. You put your hand on a Bible in the courts in the U.S., right? Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help me God, I do. Glory to his name forevermore. Now that doesn't mean if I don't like what you're wearing today that I can't lie. No, that's your opinion. Some things should be kept to yourself, right? That's just rude, right? Amen. But if there's something you need to say, if there's, you know, it's even back to the adultery, again, these all go in together. If husbands and wives are really, 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 really honest with each other, it will protect the marriage, right? If I'm hiding things from Shelley, like, again, this business group, there's opportunity in areas like that, and even in ministry, to just, you know what, sister, I just feel like we should go have a cup of coffee together. You need some counseling. Oh, danger, danger. Right? Or something coming up on the phone from somebody that's flirting on the phone with you. Well, I probably should just go ahead and start communicating. No. Put a guard up and tell your spouse. Honey, there's this person that I've met in business, and they're very attractive, by the way. And they've been reaching out to me by the phone, and we've been talking, and they're asking me questions about different things, and I'm giving them pointers from the Word of God. I just want you to know, I'm not getting together with them. I'm not doing anything like that. How many know just because you're married or whatever doesn't mean you don't notice when someone else is attractive? This means you're not chasing it like a dog in a bone. Right? And then there's the cover-up part. How many know the cover-up is worse than the crime a lot of times, right? It's just straight-up lying. And the devil is the father of all lies. So that's why we can't hide stuff. Can't hide things. Confess to God, and the Lord may put it in your heart, you know, I need to confess to my, you know, a brother or a sister in Christ or my spouse, and let's come together and agree so this thing can be wiped away and turn the light on. The devil's all about darkness. Lying is about darkness and cover up. Somebody say, turn a light on. There was a thing that popped up on my computer yesterday when I was opening it up to go through the notes for today, last night, and it said on my computer, millions of people are all going to turn their lights off at the same time around the world to demonstrate our protection of the planet. So click here for more information. So, how about if millions of us turn the light on all at the same time every day, all day, every day? And that includes being honest. Being honest. There's things that in my marriage, Shelley and I are, you know, the marriage union is, there's no darkness. And sometimes there's uncomfortable things that we talk about, but it has to come to the light. I'm like, honey, this is what I'm feeling, this is what I'm seeing. I'm not confessing it. I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm just saying I want you to know, because we need to pray about this thing and cut it off and turn the light on. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to his name forevermore. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19 says this. And I remember talking about that last line from the Shamash, one who lies in court may well deny God. Well, here's some things that God hates. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, he doesn't hate the person that's doing it. He hates the act. He doesn't hate the sinner. He hates the sin. Somebody say amen, right? Jesus died for the sinner. But he hates the sin. These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, right? Hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil. Here we go. A false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. That's gossip and slander and that type of thing, right? Look at John chapter 8 in your Bible. Got a March here. Oh, it is March, isn't it? That seems appropriate to say that. John chapter 8, verses 37 through 47. Jesus is speaking here. Now listen to who he's speaking to. He's speaking to religious leaders. Not to novices or people off the street or, you know. He's talking to so-called God's leaders, political and religious leaders. And he says, I know you're Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me. If they're Abraham's descendants and leaders in God's house, shouldn't they remember the commandment? Thou shall not murder. They're also spreading gossip and slander about him. They're also lying about him. They're also coveting the success he's having in his ministry. There's sin all over the place. I even wonder about the story where they brought the woman caught in the act of adultery? I wonder if it was one of them that was having the affair, but they nailed her for it. They wanted to put her in the spotlight and just condemn Jesus for something that they were justifying themselves. These people were so nuts. Why? Well, Jesus is going to tell us why, right? I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Now, who are we listening to? We're listening to God the Son. Right? I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen by your Father. He's getting to the nitty-gritty here, right? So they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. What is that again? That's gossip, slander. Denying that Jesus was born of a virgin. They're saying, even to this day, they're still gossiping about Mary, and, you know, they're just filthy guys, right? We were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. Not able to listen to my word. There is a block, a huge block, right? You are of your father, the devil. Uh-oh, right? And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Man, did Jesus say it like it is? And what's he trying to do? He's trying to give them an opportunity to come clean. Right? But because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. The devil is the father of lies, and God hates lying. Therefore, God hates the devil. And we should hate him too. Hallelujah, right? Let's look at Mark chapter 14. I know we got to move here. Mark chapter 14. Here's a good example of false witnesses in the process of Jesus' judgment and going to the cross, right? John, and again, we're talking not so much about the false witness, yes, but about the people that were in charge of the process. High priests we're talking about here, right? John 8, verse 37. I'm sorry, Mark 14 is where we're at, verse 53 through 60. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, this is after he'd been arrested, right? With him were assembled all the chief priests and elders and the scribes. Don't you know God keeps good books? He knows everybody that was in the room and didn't say anything. Right? He keeps good records. You can, how many know we're learning now a little bit more about how JFK was assassinated. But like some of the guys I listened to on Flashpoint, they said, you know what, over 60 years, there's probably a lot of stuff we'd like to see that's been expunged, removed, deleted. But how many know? God knows. It's recorded. And the only way to have my sin, even the smallest little sin, I was talking to my wife and I talk, you know, the other day, and we were praying and stuff, and I was like, honey, you know what? There's probably sins I committed that I don't even remember, so I can't even tell you about them. But we were talking about Jesus. I was like, but the blood of Jesus Christ has completely wiped away every sin. So that's why when a Christian gets to heaven, there's the judgment seat of Christ, which is different than the white throne judgment. The judgment seat of Christ is an award ceremony for the things you did for Jesus in the world. That's why it's really important to be about his business in the world, because there's reward for it. Amen. So Christians that never did anything for him, you'll be there clapping and, you know, but get busy doing things for Jesus. But you're not going to be called out on the carpet for some sin that you forgot about. Why? Because he forgot about it. It's been erased. Doesn't exist because of the blood of Jesus. And don't you know that drives the devil crazy? And if there's anything we should like to do, it's to drive the devil crazy. Why? Because he's the prosecuting attorney that knows and wants to remind you of every little thing you ever did and keep you under his foot. You shouldn't talk about your faith because you're a fraud, you're a failure, you're a flop. Who do you think you are? No, we should turn it back around him. No, who do you think you are to belittle the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that washed that sin away from me forever, even from my thinking, from my consciousness. Not even thinking about that, devil. And when he comes to remind you of it, you remind him of his future. Remember what you did 20 minutes ago? Remember you're going to hell, devil? Remember that? The thing about being covered in worms? Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. So God keeps good, but he knows everybody was in the room here. And if they didn't repent, which I believe many of them did repent, I believe there were some that did when he arose, because you don't know everybody he appeared to. What if he appeared to Pilate? Pilate really was struggling. He was in a tough spot. It's about the heart. What about the soldier that drove the nails in his hands and said, surely this man was the son? What about him? I believe there's people that he appeared to that, like John said, there's so many things he did, we'll never be able to write it all down. There's going to be surprises when we get to heaven. What are you doing here? I thought you wouldn't be. The blood. Somebody say, it's the blood. It's the blood. Hallelujah. But Peter followed him at a distance. Boy, there's preaching there too, but we got to keep moving. Right into the courtyard of the high priest. The high priest, right? And he sat with the servants and warmed himself by the fire. Now the chief priests and all the council, these people are supposed to be protecting people. The Ten Commandments should be in their top priority. They know better. That's what we're trying to say. They know better, right? The council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Somebody say none. And it says, for many bore false witness against him, but their testimonies did not agree. Does that sound like anything we're hearing nowadays? The nutty stuff that just doesn't line up at all, makes no sense at all. And yet there's people that still want to insist that's true. Why? Because it was on social media. Because millions of people are turning their lights off at the same time. Therefore, there's global warming. Come on. No. Wouldn't it be great to have a series called Global Warning? That would be fun. Tick-tock, tick-tock. Amen. Then some rose up and both bore false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy the temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without. You can almost hear somebody going, say this, do it. Texting, say this, try this. Like they were saying with JFK. Andrew Barton said that they had three of our best snipers and somebody in the FBI recreate the rifle that was used to assassinate, so they think, JFK from the building. And they said all three of our sniper, and then they put a melon out there in about the same distance, and every one of them hit the melon. But then they said, now let's add motion, because he was moving in a car. None of them could touch it. Somebody somewhere else closer was also shooting at him. Could have been somebody in the CIA. Somebody in on the inside. This is nuts, man. But it's nothing new. It's nothing new. So you've got these guys haggling things around to try to use somebody else to get the spotlight off of them. Somebody say, you can't hide from God. You can't hide from him. It's coming to the light. So since it's coming to the light, what's the best thing to do right now? Somebody say, come to the light. Glory to God, right? So they got these guys saying this stuff. Verse 59, but not even then did their testimonies agree. They're having a hard time getting this to be a proper process, right? And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you? So see, all of their testimonies are just absolutely jacked up. And the high priest says, don't you hear what these guys are saying? Why aren't you defending yourself? How bizarre. And these types of people still are in places of power and leadership, listening to their father, the devil. Right? And it says, but he kept silent and answered nothing. Again, the high priest said to him, saying to him, you know the story, right? The point is, these false witnesses were lying for someone else that was telling them to lie. And then even though their stories didn't line up, they acted like the leadership, instead of being leaders, acted like everything they were saying just somehow went together. All too familiar to today. The same spirit. There's still people that follow their father, the devil, today. And if they don't repent, they're going to follow him right to hell. Glory to God. Amen. Well, two scriptures as we close today say this. First of all, somebody just say, I'm not following the devil. I'm not following the father of lies. I love Jesus. I love the truth. Even if the truth hurts, I'm going to say it. John 14:6 says this, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, somebody say no one. No one comes to the Father except through me. In other words, you can't come to God telling lies. I think there's a lot of people in this world that think they're going to get, if there is a heaven, they might think, I'll get there because, well, I didn't do this and this and this and this and this, and I've done this and this and this and this. There was a billionaire sports owner that I won't say his name, but died a number of years ago. Famous for being a philanthropist, giving all the time, but also famous for being outspoken against faith, against Christians, against the Bible, but very, very much a philanthropist. And I asked the Lord about that. I was like, what about this guy? He did all this giving. You know what the Lord said to me? He said he thought his good works would save him. He thought his good works would save him. No, they won't. One way. Somebody say one way. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and be truthful with him. Lord, I repent. I sinned. I blew it. I'm not trying to hide it or make excuses about it or blame somebody else. I blew it. And I apologize to you and I turn the light on. A lot of things can just be you and him, but there's other things you might need to talk to somebody about. A spouse or a close brother or sister in Christ or a prayer line that you can call, you know, and just get it out. Be like, you know what? I just feel like I need to tell another brother and sister about this and agree that this is gone. In Jesus' name. And the Holy Ghost will dig deeper. Have you noticed the Holy Ghost digs deeper? Like Pastor Steve, I've got this problem. I'm a fear junkie. If there's not something to worry about, I'm worried that there's not something to worry about. I got to have something to worry about and be afraid of, Pastor Steve. I'm worry. I got to. I got my kids or the state of the world. And then you'll start talking with them and you'll start going through the word. Yeah, but I don't, that's a waste of time. I don't need to see what the Bible says. This is what I got to deal with over here. Well, no, if you want to get rid of it and bring it to the light, then you need to let the Holy Ghost take you deeper. How much of the news? I watch the news all day, every day, Pastor. Say, turn it off. Somebody say, cut it off. The Holy Ghost will lead you to the source of the problem. The source. Somebody say, the source. And it is the devil. Now, that won't be the same for everybody. Some people can watch the news and just, oh, hey, that's what I need to pray about today. Others, it's like a druggie. Got to have the needle in. Got to be afraid of something. Horror movies and whatever. Anything that the phone says, I believe. Somebody say, turn it off. There's a new commercial out there right now that's not there, where people are just chucking their phone, like out in the water or, you know. In some cases, that would be a good idea. But they're so fine-tuned now that you can just go through and select what you don't want. I've shared before, my wife is my assistant, my helpmeet. So I said, honey, I need your help. There's so many things on this phone that are just a straight-up distraction, and I just need you to go through with me, and you have the code. I don't need to ever know the code. Just fix it. And guess what? Now it's a tool of mine. I'm not a tool of it. And I can't tell you, that's such a marvelous thing. So getting free of lying, the Holy Ghost will take it deeper and be like, here, there's something else we need to look at here that's opening a door. How many know if we lie, if we're dishonest, it opens a door for the devil? Somebody say, shut the door. Shut his mouth, shut the door. Well, I did, Pastor Steve. I told Jesus about it. I told, yeah, you did, and that's wonderful, but there might be someone else you need to tell about it too. In some cases, there is. Hallelujah. Even in some, if it's something that's really, really a big thing, you may need to get some Christian counseling. That's not bad. Christian, I'm going to say Christian counseling. To talk it out. To find out where the root is. And cut it off at the root. Man, that's life-changing stuff. Glory to God, right? Amen. And then finally, we'll close with this. John 16, verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth. Somebody say the Spirit of truth. Glory to God. We have if you're saved and born again, you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then the devil has no place in you. You are literally filled with the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. So if you feel a symptom in your body of sickness, you can say, that's a lie. Because the Bible says, the truth says, by his stripes I was. If you feel fear, you can say, the Bible says, perfect love, that's the truth, casts out fear, right? If you feel something asking you about, you know, where's the blessing of God manifesting in my life? You can say, well, the word says a tenth is the Lord's and offerings besides, and he's the one who blesses me. You can start going through the names of God. Why? Because that is the truth. Somebody say, speak the truth. Study the truth. Meditate the truth. And then you'll recognize the difference between truth and lie. Because the devil is a fallen angel. And he can come all shiny and, you know, come, like, again, back to the marriage thing. Come in some, you know, sexy office assistant that's praising tongues. Oh, you better watch it. Right? And that's just one example. But he'll come looking like, oh, this is God. No, it isn't. It's the devil. The devil in disguise. And when you're filled with the spirit of truth, we recognize it. And we reject the lie. And we embrace the truth. So it says again, John 16:13. However, when he, the spirit of truth, has come. And let me tell you something. If we're going where God was talking to us about today, we got to have this down. I can't be out there flirting with a bunch of other girls and, you know, getting into unbelief and judgmental of other ministries and pointing fingers at other people. And if we're going to go and God's going to do what we were talking about today, some people that are listening don't know what we're talking about. That's because you weren't here. There's things we talk about when you're not here that you might want to come and hear. There's certain things that don't get recorded that are just for us. But if we want to see that kind of stuff happening, we have to have this kind of stuff down. We're not out hiding in the dark, playing with sin, covering stuff up, acting like it's okay. No. Somebody say N-O. Because we love Jesus, and we want to see him touch other people's lives, right? You want me to finish this verse now? When he, the spirit of truth, has come. Somebody say, he has come. Jesus came, died, rose again, and sent the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, I receive the Holy Ghost. Oh, but Pastor Steve, the Holy Ghost is telling me to do this crazy thing. No, he's not. No, he's not, because that's a lie, and this is the truth. But the Holy Ghost told me, Pastor Steve. You heard from a spirit, but not the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, Holy Spirit. He will guide you into all what? Truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. I believe that's what he's doing today. Let's all stand up and just declare that. Just say it out loud. I stick with the truth. I stick with Jesus. I'm staying with the Lord. I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength, and I love my neighbor as myself. I'm staying in the light. I'm staying with the truth. And just thank him. Just say, Lord, I thank you that your blood washes out any form of lying, any form of dishonesty, any form of darkness that tries to encroach in my life. I cast it out in the name and by the blood of Jesus. I walk in the light as you are in the light. You are the light, and I have fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ and fellowship with you. So one thing the Lord told me a couple years ago as we close, I was dealing with just some stuff in my head that the devil was pushing on me, you know. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, son, he's after our fellowship. Oh, man. Talk about cutting to the heart. See, if we get focused on the action, the deed, it misses the mark. The mark is my fellowship with Jesus will not be disrupted. And that means I walk in the light. I walk in the truth. Every day, all day. Every day, all day. every day, all day. And we will see God do marvelous things, draw people who are deeper in darkness than we ever would have thought possibly going. He will literally bring them out of the grave spiritually. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Just make that commitment. Just say, Lord, I commit to being a person of truth, walks in your truth, constant communion with you, in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.